Well, last week we did a meditation from the scriptures on God's Christmas tree, and as we oftentimes enjoy having Christmas trees during the season, that God has a Christmas tree. And we saw that as we reflected upon the cross of Jesus Christ, that we cannot really separate the birth of Christ from the death of Christ, that those two must go together. Otherwise, we totally misunderstand the meaning of Christmas if we isolate the birth of our Lord from the death of our Lord. So God's Christmas tree is none other than the cross, and it's inseparably tied to the Lord's virgin birth. This morning, what I'd like for us to do is to kind of carry that a bit further and to reflect upon God's Christmas cards. If God has a Christmas tree, why can't He have Christmas cards? I'd like for us to study that from God's Word this morning. But we all love to get Christmas cards, I think. I'm probably one of the world's worst on sending them out. That's why you haven't gotten one from me, is because I'm just I'm a lazy person, and I just never get around to being organized enough to send them out. So my apologies, but Merry Christmas to you. That's my Christmas card. But we all like to get Christmas cards in the mail. They're always bright and cheerful. They communicate love from family and friends. But Christmas cards are relatively a recent phenomenon. The sending of commercially printed Christmas cards originated in London. And previously, people would send greetings, just handwritten notes. But the first commercially printed Christmas card was made in the year 1843. And there was a man in London, a wealthy British businessman by the name of Sir Henry Cole, and he hired a London artist, John Calcott Horsley, and he was a respected illustrator of the day, and he drew up the first Christmas card, and he printed up 1,000 of them for Henry Cole. I actually have a picture of that in your handout this morning, the very first Christmas card. You can see on the left that there are people that are a man who is feeding some poor people, a woman and a child, it looks like. On the right-hand side, they're clothing a poor person. And so far, so good, but the center picture raised a bit of controversy. Obviously, they are gathered around a table, and they're drinking wine, which was a problem for some. But the biggest problem was that apparently the mother is giving the little daughter a sip of wine. So that this card didn't go over real well, we could say. It had some problems back in that day and age. And yet it was the first attempt to communicate a printed Christmas card. And notice the words on it, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. The word Merry was a spiritual word back in the 1800s, meaning blessed, like Merry Old England, Blessed Old England. This card, of course, was the first of many that would follow. And of course, the best cards, in my estimation, are the ones that have scripture on them. But even not even all of those are really good Christmas cards. I think I've shared with you in the past the most atrocious Christmas card that I ever received in the mail was one that I got probably 4 or 5 years ago from someone, I can't even remember who sent it to me, and it had a Bible verse on it. And the Bible verse said, and they will send gifts to one another, Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. And you might say, what an appropriate Christmas card. I mean, it's all about sending gifts and how glorious and wonderful. But I read that and I said to myself, now I know Revelation chapter 11 and it's not dealing with Christmas at all. And I went back and looked up the entire verse. And of course, this is what it says. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And so what the context is that the beast came out and killed God's two prophets, And so all the people are making merry and sending gifts to one another, celebrating the death of God's prophet. Well, that was probably the most abused Bible verse that I've ever seen on a Christmas card. In addition to that, we have Christmas cards that are very secular in nature these days, wishing happy holidays with no mention of Christmas or Christ at all. And of course, even in this morning's paper, there is an article about the culture war over Christmas. And we really shouldn't be surprised that the world is continually trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Actually, this even began when our Lord was born. Because if you read in Matthew chapter 2, it was King Herod that tried to take Christ out of Christmas, literally, when he murdered all the babies 2 years old and younger. And ever since that day, the world has continually been trying to take Christ out of Christmas, and it should not surprise us that it's still going on today. But nevertheless, many use Christmas cards this time of year to celebrate Christmas. In fact, there are more than 2 billion Christmas cards exchanged annually just within the United States. And Christmas is the number one card-selling holiday of the year. Well, I say all that merely to introduce the idea that this morning we're going to look at the most incredible Christmas cards ever. And in fact, it's what I'm going to call God's Christmas cards are the most spectacular, glorious Christmas messages that you could ever imagine. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So what we're going to do is open the envelope of God's Word, and we're going to take a closer look at some of God's Christmas cards. And I want us to begin by looking at Luke chapter 1, if you'll open your Bibles there. And we're going to see God's Christmas card to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. The story begins in verse 5. Zacharias is a priest. And he has been chosen by lot to go to the temple and to offer incense. See, all the priests lived throughout the land of Israel, and each division or a certain number of tribes would go to the temple and serve for so many months each year, and they would rotate through. So Zacharias is in Jerusalem, and he has had the special privilege of being chosen by God through the drawing of lots to enter into the temple to burn incense. And we know that while he is in there performing the service, that an angel of the Lord comes to him. And we read in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 11. And it says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.'" I want to point out here that the mailman is an angel. And as you know, most of our Christmas cards come to us today through the mail, and we have mailmen that will come and deliver them to your mailbox. But this is a far greater Christmas card because it's being delivered in person by an angel of the Lord. It's not even a printed message. This is a verbal message. It's like one of those singing telegrams that we used to hear about in years past. And I remember being in an office one time, and someone had been paid to come in and sing a message to his fiancée or something like that. But this is what's going on. This Christmas card, if you will, is delivered in person, not printed, but actually verbally communicated by an angel of God himself. Now, we know that the essence of this is dealing with Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, who are very old. Elizabeth had been barren. She'd never been able to have a child. And the nature of this Christmas card is going to be all about that. We know that the one, the angel, the mailman or the male angel who comes is called Gabriel in verse 19. So this is none other than Gabriel that is bringing this Christmas message to Zacharias. Gabriel is only one of two named angels in the Bible. Who is the other one? Michael. Michael the archangel. Gabriel is probably an archangel himself. He's certainly a high-ranking angel because in verse 19 of Luke chapter 1, he describes himself as one who stands in the presence of God. His name, Gabriel, means either man of God or God is great or God is mighty. It depends upon how you interpret part of his name. But Gabriel's job in the Gospels, as well as in Daniel chapter 8 and 9, the other place in the Bible where we meet up with Gabriel, his main job is to be a messenger. As opposed to Michael, who is the angel of war, Gabriel is the angel of messages from God. And so he is, in a real sense, the mailman, the male angel, who brings this incredible message, this Christmas card, if you will, to Zacharias. Now, of course, the message that this angel brings, that Gabriel brings, is a glorious message. And what makes it so astounding and so spectacular is that there has not been really any angelic activity that we know of on this earth for at least about 500 years. The last time we read of any angelic activity is in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, which was written sometime around 500 B.C. So there's been about a 500-year period of silence. And I'm sure angels are very much involved, but there is nothing recorded. There's no visual manifestation of any angel until this point in time. And so God dispatches Gabriel, the angel that brings the message to Zacharias. And the message is basically this. We read it again starting in verse 13 down through verse 17. And to summarize it, it basically says, do not be afraid. Congratulations, you're going to have a baby. And the baby that's being announced here is the birth of John the Baptist. And you say, well, now how is that tied in as a Christmas card? Well, because of the ministry that John himself would have. See, the significance and importance of the life of John the Baptist is not really in John himself. It's in the ministry of John preparing the way for Jesus Christ. So that this Christmas card is all about a baby announcement, if you will. And this baby is important because he has a strategic part to play in God's plan of redemption. John's birth brings into the world the advance team that would go out into the wilderness and the highways and the byways and preach the gospel of repentance and baptism in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. And that even though John himself would grow up and decrease in importance so that Christ would increase in importance, his ministry is incredibly important in preparing the way for Jesus Christ. John is the human spotlight, shining with all of his grace and power and preaching upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so that this first Christmas card sent by the angel Gabriel himself, is all about, ultimately, his ministry for Jesus Christ. We see that spelled out clearly in verse 17, where it says, he will go before him, that is, Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that was the ministry of John. Now let me also point out that this Christmas message came a good 15 months before the birth of Christ. You see, John the Baptist was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have the 9 months of our Lord's time of pregnancy in Mary's womb, plus the 6 months, you have 15-month period when this Christmas card came before the actual birth of Jesus Christ. So this one came really, really early. We have some friends that always send out early Christmas cards. And they always arrive at our house like on December the 1st or December the 2nd. And every year, I mean, they probably drop them in the mail. And don't you just hate or maybe envy those that are so well organized that they always get their cards out early? For someone that never gets them out, period, I have a great respect for people like that. But anyway, this card came 15 months before the birth of our Lord. And so it's an announcement that said, Gabriel, you're going to have a son. You're old, and your wife is barren. But this is a miracle birth. This is a miracle birth. You're going to have a son, and he will be the forerunner for the Messiah. He will be the prophet of the Most High God. He will prepare the way of the Lord and to give the people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. So John's birth was very much involved with Christ's birth. And so the first Christmas card dealt with the miraculous birth of his forerunner and his prophet that would prepare the way for him. Well, Gabriel is not through. He has more cards to deliver. And the next is to a young virgin named Mary. And if you'll look also in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, and since we just read that, I won't reread the passage. But let me tell you that the timing of this card is that it's delivered 6 months after the first card. So Gabriel went back up to heaven, and now 6 months later he comes back down. And he's going to announce to Mary the fact that she's going to give birth to a child. Her child, however, is a bit more glorious than John. We read particularly in verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And so now the Christmas card that comes to Mary is another miracle birth announcement. Because instead of being old and beyond the years of giving birth, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, now it's to a woman who is a virgin. Even a greater miracle, if you will. And of course, the baby that she will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, as we see in verse 35. She will bear a son. He will be called Jesus. He would be the Son of the Most High God. Not just a prophet like John, but now the Son of God Himself. And that He will have the everlasting throne of David. In other words, Mary, here's your Christmas card. Congratulations, you have been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God, who would be king forever upon David's throne. A pretty impressive Christmas card indeed. Well, there are others that need to be looked at briefly and quickly, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Because now there's going to be an angel who delivers a Christmas message, a Christmas card, if you will, to Joseph, the betrothed husband to Mary. Starting in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, we find the third Christmas card. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, this angel is not identified for us. But remember in Luke chapter 1, the angel was called an angel of the Lord, and then only later on it's identified as Gabriel. Gabriel then went to Mary, and I'm just going to suggest that this is also Gabriel. That may not be correct, but I think it's Gabriel all the way through here. But that's just my guess, since the text doesn't actually say that. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Well, notice the difficult circumstances around the sending of this Christmas card by the angel. See, Mary was pregnant, but she was not pregnant by Joseph. Joseph was her betrothed husband, but they had not yet consummated the marriage, nor their marriage vows or anything. They had not come together physically. And no doubt, Mary had tried to tell Joseph what the angel, Gabriel, had told her about why she was pregnant. There's no doubt in my mind that Mary probably explained to Joseph, Joseph, I know what you're thinking, but you must understand, an angel of the Lord appeared to me, and he told me that I would conceive by the Holy Spirit. And the whole time, Joseph is saying, right. Give me a break, woman. Do you really take me for a fool like that? I mean, here you've been immoral. Here you've been cheating against me, and you want me to believe that an angel came to you and it's by the Holy Spirit? What kind of a fool do you take me for? He didn't believe her. And there was this incredibly tense circumstance that's surrounding this whole event. This story that Mary no doubt had told Joseph was so far-fetched and so preposterous, so incredibly outrageous that he couldn't bring himself to believe it. So that either she takes me for a fool, or what if Mary is actually deranged? Maybe she has gone out and played the harlot on me, and yet in her own deceived, twisted mind, she's conjured up this whole story about the angel. Maybe she actually believes it. So that maybe she has gone crazy. Now, either one of these, or maybe some other explanation, could have been going through Joseph's mind. But one thing's for sure, he did not believe her. And yet in verse 19, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to divorce her secretly. So it's in the context of this incredible story and Joseph's unbelief that this angel now appears with the third Christmas card, if you will. This must have taken place soon after the conception of Mary. So I'm going to guess this is around 8 or 9 months before our Lord is actually born. So another early Christmas card, if you will. The message of this card, this message from the angel, very simply, is this. Joseph, Mary is telling the truth. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. She has conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the fulfillment of prophecy, Joseph. Isaiah talked about it, that a virgin would be with child and will bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So in effect, this Christmas card came to Joseph at a crucial time in his own doubt to reassure him the truth of what had just happened. This prevented Joseph from making a terrible mistake of actually divorcing Mary, who was with child by the Holy Spirit. So this is an incredible message, an incredible Christmas card to Joseph, just telling him that what had happened to his wife was in fact true, that the Messiah was now living in her womb, and that he would be named Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. That little baby in her womb was none other than God with us. What an incredible message. That an angel himself would appear to him with such an amazing, incredible, spectacular message to confirm what his dear wife or bride had already told him was the case. Well, so far, these first three Christmas cards delivered by angels sent from heaven have all come to basically the family of Jesus. It's come to his mother, his stepfather, I guess we could call Joseph, and to Mary's relative, Zacharias. But there are others who need to hear about this birth. So there are two more cards I want us to quickly look at. The next one is found in the Gospel of Luke again, if you want to turn back there, chapter 2. And I must admit, this is one of my favorites. Luke chapter 2. We begin reading in verse 8 of Luke 2. In the same region, there were some angels staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord, I'm going to guess this is Gabriel again, suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Well, the timing of this particular Christmas card, Christmas message, delivered by the angel, is the actual birthday of our Lord Himself. Notice, if you look at verse 11, it says, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior." So this is actually Christmas Day. This angelic message, this Christmas card, if you will, from God, comes on the exact day of our Lord's birth, whether it was December the 25th, or whatever day it happened on, we aren't for sure. But whatever day it was, that's when this one occurred. "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior." And what amazes me about this particular Christmas greeting and Christmas message is that it came to a group of shepherds who during the night were keeping watch over their flocks. Now, the humble recipients of this Christmas card, these shepherds, I think says a lot about the character of God. You see, shepherds were not the movers and the shakers of society, unless, of course, you're talking about how they were shivering in the cold night air. And then they might have been moving and shaking to try to stay warm. But these shepherds were humble folk. They didn't have a lot of money. They weren't highly educated. They were probably like minimum wage people today. They didn't have probably much of any education, because it doesn't take a college education to watch sheep, right? But they're outside. They don't even enjoy the comforts of a home. They're out with the sheep, out in the cold during the night. They're not powerful people. They're not royal people. They're not people of great influence at all. They're very humble-minded people. And I think outside of the immediate family of Jesus Christ, these were the first ones who were chosen to know about His birth and to see the Lord in the manger. They were shepherds. And I think the lesson that we see from this is that the very nature of Christ's birth is that it really doesn't matter how high or low you are in life, how rich or poor you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a politician or a tax collector or you're free or you're a slave or you're a man or a woman or a child. That the good news that comes from the birth of Jesus Christ is for all kinds of people. Even lowly shepherds. Even people that don't have great influence over others. That Christ came to save sinners from all kinds of groups of people around the face of the earth. And also I think that it was designed that this angel would come to shepherds because in a very real sense, this little baby that was born in the manger was going to be the greatest shepherd of all. In fact, in the New Testament, Christ is called the Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. And I think it's almost a bit of irony designed in the plan by God Almighty that He would send this Christmas greeting, this Christmas card to a bunch of shepherds shivering in the cold out in a winter's night watching over their flock. Because they, in many ways, were to symbolize the very nature of our Lord's ministry. That He would come and minister to His sheep and die for His sheep and save His sheep. He would be a tremendous shepherd. And so these shepherds, given this glorious truth, were allowed the understanding of what had happened on that particular day. But there is an added glory to this story that I love to read about. And it's found in verse 13. That after this angel gives this opening message to the shepherds, suddenly in verse 13, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." So that now, before them there was one angel who had been standing. And the glory of this angel had lit up the whole area in which they were standing. And now, when the angel gets through with his message, it says that there appears a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and shouting and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." So that now a whole multitude of angels appear in glory, and they're all shouting and praising God for the birth of Christ and the peace that He would bring on earth. It kind of reminds me of being on a 4th of July celebration, and there you are, and just imagine that the first big fireworks, whatever you call them, goes off, and it's a big one. And it goes up in the air and you see the tracer going up and then it just explodes with this big round circular bouquet of colors. And then it just freezes there. It doesn't disappear, it just freezes there. That's the first angel that comes. And the glory is just shining all around them and stays there. But then suddenly you jump to the end of the fireworks display and there's the grand finale and suddenly just all of these fireworks are shooting up and they're all bursting out in all of their colors and their lights and their sounds. And suddenly the whole sky is a huge tapestry of color and light. And that's what's happening before the eyes of the shepherds. The one angel has come, but now the whole sky is, as it were, lit up by the glory of these angels all singing and shouting with their voices to the glory of Jesus Christ. Man, what a Christmas card. How would you like to have someone knock on your door and you open up the door and suddenly there's angels in light and glory and God sending you this message that a child is born. That peace on earth is coming. That glory be to God. Now that's a Christmas card that none of us have ever experienced. And yet there's one more, one final one. I'll be very brief, and maybe Dwayne next week will elaborate on this more carefully. that there's a one to the Magi in Matthew chapter 2. And this particular one is a bit different because we don't have necessarily an angel that appears, but we have a star that appears in the east to the Magi. The timing of this card, this Christmas announcement, if you will, probably, I'm going to guess, occurred on the day of Christ's birth, just like the angels that came to the shepherds. That's just a guess. But they come in verse 2 and they say that we saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. This star has to be supernatural. There is nothing natural that can explain it, not the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn, because it can't explain that once the Magi got to Jerusalem, this star actually turned them south and guided them to the very home in which Jesus, the baby Jesus, was in at that point in time. And if the star appeared to them on Christmas Day, it probably took them several months to make the journey. And that would explain why Jesus is not in a manger, but He's in a home in verse 11. And so this they probably arrived maybe 3 or 4 months after the actual birth of Jesus Christ. We don't know for sure. But this is a star. This is the announcement. It's a star. Probably not a literal star. What they saw was a light. And they would just normally call that a star. That would be very fitting and accurate. But it was something supernatural. It wasn't a literal star way out in space. It has to be something supernatural. But it guided them all the way to Christ. Now that star, I don't know what it was. It could have been an angel. I would almost be tempted to guess that because of the other announcements that have come. But it was a spectacular announcement sent by God announcing the birth of the King of the Jews. Well, these various Christmas cards come in different shapes and colors, different details, different bits of information about the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He was born the King of the Jews. He would live a sinless life and be called the Son of God. He would be God with us. He would die on the cross and save His people from their sins. He would sit on the throne of His father David forever and ever for an eternal kingdom. And all of these details must be funneled back into the crib, into the manger in which the baby Jesus was first laid. You see, the birth of Christ, the celebration of Christmas, is far more than just a virgin gives birth. It's the very nature of that baby that was born. Jesus Christ in all of His glory, God in human flesh, Savior of the world, the only Savior. There is no other. And yet God so long ago, so many years ago, sent these incredible, spectacular, angelic Christmas cards announcing the birth of this incredible baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time you open a Christmas card, I want you to think of God's Christmas cards sent these many years ago. And none of God's Christmas cards said merely happy holidays. They all said, glory be to God for the birth of the Son of the Most High. Glory be to God, a Savior is born. Glory be to God, sinners can be forgiven. These spectacular Christmas cards sent by God are still bringing their joy to hearts today. God is still sending these cards today. Oh, you won't have an angel come and knock on your door and be the mailman that delivers them. You won't hear an angel speaking to you, but God is still sending out these Christmas cards every time we open the Word of God and read from the narrative event, the nativity event concerning Christ's birth in Matthew and in Luke. These cards are still being read. They're still being delivered. And everyone who believes the messages that the angels brought so many years ago will find that this incredible celebration can still transform the heart and the life of man. I don't know if you have ever had your life transformed. transformed by a Christmas card or not. But these Christmas cards given by God, now found eternally written for us in Holy Scripture, they can transform lives. When the Spirit of God blesses the Word of God, these Christmas cards can change us forever. Well, God has sent to all of us these cards. Have you read them lately for yourself, personally? And maybe more importantly, have you believed them? Because these Christmas cards are the only hope that sinners have. And if you're here this morning and you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, you need to take up God's Christmas cards and read them again. And you need to realize that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And that you have sins that will rightly condemn you before a holy God on the day of judgment. And you will justly deserve hell unless you turn to the only Savior that God has provided. And that's Jesus Christ. If you will come and believe the simple message that the angels brought to Zacharias and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and even the Magi, and if you will confess your sins to God and repent of them and believe the messages that these angels have brought and believe in a Savior that God has provided, that this Christmas card can and will transform your life and give you a joy and a hope that nothing else can possibly do. Let every sinner this year that hears this incredible story, that God would open their hearts and give them faith, that they might come to a Savior who is born of a virgin, who grew up and lived a sinless and holy life, who suffered and died on the cross for sinners like us, that everyone who believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Regardless of whether you get a good Christmas card or a bad one in the mail, like I've gotten a few bad ones over the years, may your Christmas cards remind you of God's Christmas cards and the great hope that we celebrate and the joy that we celebrate this time of year. Well, may God bless us. Let's close in prayer.